You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome once again to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling, news, commentary, and hair. I am your favorite plucky Asian announcer, Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan, also joined by the wrestling commentator and what we like to call the wrestling heel commentator, Mr. Steven Anthony. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really good. I've been out of jail for a few weeks now, and I just wanted to go home and wash the jail out of my hair. And now that we've done a couple of shows, you know, I'm starting to feel it again. So thanks for lifting the suspension.
Okay, very good. Well, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Now, last week, our program, we recorded a show on Monday, as we try to do. And unfortunately, the audio didn't turn out right. So we are here back again, trying it once again. Hopefully everything will turn out well. Now, we were going to talk and preview the Impact Bound for Glory show that happened just a few days ago. I guess when you listen to this, it'll be Tuesday. But it did happen this past Sunday. And it was not to spoil it, but it was a little bit of a train wreck. But needless to say, I saw the show. It was quite interesting. We were also going to talk about all the releases. But truth be told, the promo of the week, which you know and love here on the show, we do it every single time we release a show. We put out a classic promo or a new promo. Steven, you woke me up with a text message on Sunday that says, check this. Oh, no. This was awesome. I'm glad you did it. You know, you're probably at work when you get this, or you're probably having your morning coffee before you go to work. And then you sent me the text, and I'm like, holy smokes. What in the world? I mean, has the world just gone mad?
The world's gone mad.
It is our promo of the week. Typically, we save that for the end of the show. We're going to kick it off this week with a promo of the week. It is Chris Jericho. Chris freaking Jericho.
The man,
the goat.
He continues to cement his legacy.
Oh, I love it. So here are the immortal words of Y2J on New Japan. Enjoy.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
He's made this belt into the real world title. And he's got all the boys all over the business, regardless of company, saying he's the best in the world.
Kenny Omega is calling for a microphone.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Barretta being helped to the back, but the U.S. champion is still Kenny Omega.
A valiant effort by a young Trent Barretta. Congratulations. Welcome to the heavyweight division.
Welcome to me.
You all know this time of the show. Oh yeah. This is when whoever challenges me comes out and introduces themselves. So I welcome you. Please come out and introduce yourself.
Well, Beretta is going to be a player in the heavyweight division for a long time to come.
No takers.
Nope.
俺はバカだな。俺が今まで日本語話してないから理解ができませんよね。
Saying there's no one's got the guts, Kevin.
だからさ、今回、今回だけ私が日本語を話してやるよ。
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he
there's no one left. He's beaten them all.
Amazing Japanese.
もし挑戦したいやつがいたら出て。ください。誰かいないの？
Said please.
いないの？
He says anyone? Anyone?
いないの？まあやっぱりいないわ。だからもうグッバイと言うしかない。Everybody, Osaka fans, people around the world.I must bid you adieu. And so, goodbye. And good night. Bang!
That was great. What? What is this?
Is this? Been a lot of talk about Switchblade.
My God!
What the hell?
That's Chris Jericho!
Jericho! Chris Jericho!
It's Chris Jericho!
What is this?
Kenny Omega, what a dynamic performer. What a fantastic, tremendous performer. But he's not the best in the world. I am. So many have claimed to be the best, from Shawn Michaels to Edge to CM Punk, but they're all gone, and I'm still here. Because I am the best in the world.I am the greatest of all time. I am the alpha of this business. And I'm going to prove it. Because I'm challenging you, Kenny.
What?
Jericho versus Kenny.
What?
Alpha versus Omega. To see who is really the best. I want to meet you. January 4th.
What?
To Wrestle Kingdom 12.In the Tokyo Dome.
That can't even happen, can it?
So let's see who's really the best. Bitch.
Oh my God.
What is,
did I just see
happened?
What I think I saw?
What just happened?
That was Chris Jericho, and he's just challenged Kenny Omega for Wrestle Kingdom.
And Omega looks happy about it.
What's he gonna say?
Jericho versus Omega. 面白いな。やってやるぜ。
No.
Phoenix accepts.
No.
No. Phoenix accepts. He accepts. It's gonna happen, fans.Chris Jericho will return to New Japan Pro Wrestling. He will face Kenny Omega for the U.S. title. And it's going to happen January 4th at Wrestle Kingdom.
I can't believe it. Why wasn't I told about this?
Who are you trying to call?
I'm trying to call Jericho. What is this? How can he wrestle in New Japan?
I can't.
Did he accept?
He did.
I don't speak Japanese. Did he accept?
He accepted.
Jesus.
I cannot believe it. I am absolutely shocked. I thought
there's no bigger match in this business that you could have than what just got announced in front of us here.
A promo of the week brought to you by our good friends at Amazon. Don't forget, if you want to shop, you want to get some awesome things. The holiday season is right around the corner, and Steven and I are in full effect because it is the high time in retail. You want to support the show, use our link there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Click on our awesome Amazon banner, and then you can pick up a bunch of great things. You can support the show, and we would really, really appreciate it. And thank you to Amazon for being a day one supporter of Pro Wrestling Cast and our promo of the week. Steven, this promo was epic. I can't, you know, typically when a movie trailer for Star Wars or a Marvel movie comes out, I wait in bated breath and I sit and wait for the trailer. You know, I hear that the trailer's coming, and then bam, Sunday morning happens, or whenever they decide to release a trailer happens, and I can't wait. I've got my phone by my bed and I play the trailer and I'm just giddy in the phone, and my wife goes, "What in the world are you doing?" I was like, "The new Star Wars trailer came out. It's awesome." Well,
right.
You sent that text to me, I think, and I swear, I think I've played that promo like 3 times. I was like, in bed,
wild.
Here comes the promo. I'm like, oh my goodness me. Jericho versus Kenny Omega, Alpha versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, and then I make coffee, and then I'm playing the promo again, and then I'm like, you know, holy smokes, and then I'm feeding the cats, and then I'm playing the promo again. Steven, what was your reaction when you first saw this news and this promo?
I thought it was pretty amazing. Well, you know, I checked my phone when I woke up Sunday because I knew that the New Japan show was probably going to end around 2 or 3 a.m. And then I thought, well, let me see what happened. And I accidentally hit my YouTube app, and it happened to pop up on it. It was, I thought maybe that's fake. So I'm half awake. And then I go to WrestlingObserver.com, and it said Chris Jericho challenges Omega. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, of course, I went and watched the video as quick as I could and actually played it for Terry while in bed. And she was delighted because she – and she won't say this. She is a huge Kenny Omega fan. I happen to know this. She likes all of his matches. She thinks he's a nice, polite young man in real life. And thinks he's pretty funny. And I, quite frankly, think all the same. I think he's the best white wrestler in the world right now. And, I mean, well, you know. Which means, like, you're the fifth best wrestler in the world. And he's definitely number 5 on my list. Now, here's the question. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Go for it.
Now, you might not like this because you're a huge Jericho mark.
Oh, no, I am. I am a fan, but go for it.
Can Jericho hang?
Right.
In the Tokyo Dome. This is a big one. Now, I know he's a big match wrestler. I know he doesn't front, and I know he doesn't let people down. But let's face it. This Kenny Omega has had some incredible moments just this year alone. If you include last year and this year, it's the two matches with Naito, Tanahashi, Michael Elgin. These are just popping into my head. Okada, the three-match series. These matches are all 4, 3/4, 5, 5.5, 6 stars. So can Jericho bring it? Can Jericho have the 5-star match? Now, I think Jericho wants to create an incredible moment. You know, this guy is very bright. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. He really understands what it means to be a pro wrestler. He understands the history of pro wrestling. He did a feud with Ultimo Dragon when he was a kid. He did Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He did WCW in the glory days of their undercard. He's been in Japan. He's been in Mexico. And now he's going to go to Wrestle Kingdom in New Japan and try to do this. It's my question, Al John, go. Can Chris Jericho hang in this match?
Well, we shall see, won't we? You know,
I guess so.
You said it yourself. Chris Jericho is a big time matchmaker. You know, he does the WrestleManias. He performs at festivals. the guy is no stranger to the bright lights, so it's not going to be an issue for him in terms of the spectacle. And we all know that New Japan is really working the whole spectacle thing, trying to appeal to a broader audience. And you know that New Japan Wrestling is not the same today in 2017 and will be in the future, will not be the same as it was even 5 years ago.
Yes.
You know, there is a lot more spectacle going on in New Japan because, and I like to think that it's the influence of American wrestling, especially the WWE.
Really?
I believe that. I believe that now, will they necessarily lose their identity? I don't believe so. But I believe that there are elements in the presentation, there are elements in the storytelling that make it very appealing for fans of that are not fans, per se, of New Japan to come into the New Japan fold, because there are those things. And I think this is part of that whole marketing that Gato's really trying to go for in terms of booking. This is the perfect storm. We knew that Jericho had been kind of feuding over Twitter regarding Kenny Omega, and as well as others trying to get his whole Rock and Cruise thing that's going on.
I thought they were setting up a cruise match.
Yeah, so did I. I thought so. But hey, you know what? Why not? Well, now here's the thing. So let's first talk about your question. Can he?
Yes.
We'll find out. And regardless of whether he can hang or not, I think he will create that moment. And I do believe that we will see an unchained Jericho, and he's going to try some things. You know, he has been blessed, if you will.
If you will.
If you will. He's been blessed with the fact that he has kept himself very healthy in his over 25 years of professional wrestling. Very, very healthy. And even though, as people say, maybe he's lost a step or whatever, uh-oh, I think he's just having to work very smart and make sure that he's able to continue to at least tell the story at a very high level in that ring. And we'll find out if, you know, for sure, if he's going to be able to hang with the Omega. And regardless, you're going to see two professionals that know how to work, that know how to tell a story and can build a drama, and I think it's going to be something really special. Jericho has been very, what's the word I'm looking for, loyal to Vince McMahon since coming in. He's never done those type of other wrestling TV shows outside of WWE since he's been there.
Yeah, but he does his own thing too. You know, he's kind of his own man for one. He's kind of like, not like The Rock, but he's kind of like Steve Austin and Michaels to a degree. He wrestles more than them, obviously, but he picks his spots well. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to wrestle the top guy right now. They're both from Winnipeg, right? Aren't they both from Winnipeg?
I believe so.
And, you know, I think this, they must have put this together when he did his podcast.
Well,
that's what I think.
My understanding is that a few months ago, they were talking about how, they were talking about how Triple H didn't want to have the whole Festival of Friendship situation angle play out. He was against it. Jericho fought for it. At the end, he went straight to the man himself, Vince McMahon, and said, well, we're doing it, against Triple H's decision, or better judgment, if you will. And of course, it became a huge angle. And in fact, at the time, Jericho was doing a handshake deal, extending his contract on a week-by-week basis in order to save what was pretty much a very dark time, an abysmal time, not just for ratings, but just for Raw in general in terms of creativity, if it wasn't for that angle. And well, I think you and I have even made mention of it before, that Raw would almost be unwatchable.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also, he is not under contract. So he can do it, and they could say, hey, don't do it. But, I mean, why do that? Because I was listening to The Observer this morning, and, you know, they were pointing out, why wouldn't you want him to do it in a sense? You have Finn Balor, Nakamura, The Club, and a few other guys who've come from New Japan, and that's obviously a good crossover thing. And Not that they're like, hey, man, go do a match with New Japan, but I don't think they could have stopped him. They could have convinced him not to, but at the end of the day, it's a big deal. You want to know another match of Herd's on the card? Mm. I almost took a shit when I read it. Cody Rhodes against Kota Ibushi. How about that?
Yes.
Now, that's fantastic.
Well, initially, weren't we supposed to get Omega versus Ibushi? I think everybody was kind of looking toward that.
Here's the thing. Kenny Omega wanted that. Kota Ibushi wanted that. Us fans, I happen to be a huge fan of the Golden Lovers because they love gold. That's why their finishing move is called the Golden Showers. And, you know, the Kota Ibushi Omega thing, that's not what Gato wanted to do. So although they have complete, from what I understand, complete control over their matches, how they go about, they have no control over the booking whatsoever, which I think is a little different too. So I think, you know, they were like, hey, we'll give, I think that's a good match for Ibushi. I think it's an opportunity for Cody to have his best match ever. And I hope he goes into a Ring of Honor champion. I don't see him losing the Ring of Honor title before January. But actually, he's the best champion I've ever seen as far as Ring of Honor, as far as doing promos and having heat.
Right.
What a great time for New Japan and for Ring of Honor, who, you know, man, they've like caught on to the wave of New Japan awesomeness.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it not only raises Chris Jericho's stock, I think for the casual person, if there are casual people that, you know, will glob onto this, or even media outlets that will glob onto this, is the fact that it is good even for the WWE and the fallout of this, because it just makes it look like there is someone that can go almost Monday Night Wars-ish, if you will. So someone could kind of defect and do their thing and then come back, maybe as a hero, maybe as whatever the case is. But, I mean, can you imagine the pop when he comes back to WWE from all the hardcore marks?
Huge. You know,
it would be huge.
And that's once exactly again, right.
It primes the pump for more creativity and for the Chris Jericho to reinvent himself once again. Rumor mill has it, and I don't like necessarily talking about it, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. The fact that this whole thing with Jericho and Triple H even stems from the Cruz, as they were having negotiations to have NXT talent and Jericho pay for everything. This Cruz is everything that Jericho financed in order to pay for all, you know, the NXT stars to do it. Right. And at the last minute, everything was going to be happening, and then Triple H pulled out of it.
I didn't know that. I haven't heard that one.
So
where'd you hear that?
Yeah. So as a response to it, Jericho says, "Okay, fine. Then I'm going to bring Ring of Honor in there, and I'm going to pay for it."
Well,
I want to put money into our fellow superstars, you know, hands. All I need, and. This is something that I think we even talked about weeks ago, was the fact that all the WWE superstars are independent contractors. So if you had an event, or an independent wrestling event, and you wanted to pay to have John Cena be a speaker, or to have a signing, or to wrestle, pay the fee, whatever the fee is, and it's up to him whether or not he wants to take it or not. And that's why John Cena has done a few of these type of shooty style interviews, because these promoters are paying for his appearance fee. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So,
you know.
So having said that, Jericho was going to pay for all of this, the Cruz, all of his fans, you know, and that just proves to me Jericho, that name, that marquee value is still there. Jericho puts butts in seats. Jericho can sell out a cruise. Jericho can do a book and an appearance, and he sells a crap ton of merchandise. He has a podcast, which is one of the top five podcasts for pro wrestling, can charge whatever he wants in order to do advertisements, and can promote his record, and his record will go through the roof and become a number one rock record for weeks on end because of his promotional machine. I mean, that says something about a superstar, that the WWE, no matter what, WWE doesn't, Jericho does not need WWE, right?
Right.
WWE needs Jericho.
And once these wrestlers prove they don't need WWE, not just him, Cody Rhodes did, the Bullet Club obviously did. Once these wrestlers prove they don't need WWE and understand that about themselves, then they can go on and be great. And I think this is just Jericho cementing his legacy. This is him saying, hey, this is something I want to do. I can hang with this dude. I can do this. He better be ready. Kenny has some incredible cardio.
Oh, absolutely.
But let's not forget one thing. And we've been talking about it for 10, 12 minutes. This whole card, all of this stuff we're talking about, okay? This is all about crowning Naito as the champion. That's really what this is about.
Sure.
And that's how good Gato is as a booker. Because okay. Once you're Los Ingobernables, you're Los Ingobernables for life. Okay?
Amen. I don't doubt that one bit. You know, it's compelling stuff when you look at it. And I look forward to seeing how this will unfold with vignettes. I thought his vignette, his intro was great. Like I said, we played that at the beginning of the program. It's going to be great. Jericho's stock continues to rise. Have you heard about this? Jericho's doing a show on Travel Channel. Did you hear about this?
No, but that sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, he continues to stay busy. And he has got a brand new show called The Legend of with Chris Jericho. It premieres Friday, November 17th, just a few days away, 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And according to the press release issued by the Travel Channel, the special will follow Jericho as he brings his lifelong fascination of history's unexplained legends, which he does on his podcast quite regularly, wow. And the figures behind them to the small screen. Digging into the past, Jericho searches for answers that separate fact from fiction to find the true story behind the legend. This is very similar to, Kristen, what is the name of that show that we watch, Lore, on Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah, very similar to that. So we watch that on Amazon. Mm. So in the half-hour special, Jericho investigates the legend of Butch Cassidy and the facts behind the most brazen heist in Castlegate, Utah. Then he heads out into the desert with professional treasure hunters in search of Cassidy's legendary lost loot. Then he meets up with an expert of information on Cassidy's post-heist escape route, which helps Jericho recreate the effects of the TNT explosives once used to blow open the bank vaults. Quote, I've had a lot of amazing experiences over the course of my career in life, but searching for the truth behind some of the greatest mysteries in history is by far some of the most incredible. I'm on a mission for truth, treasure, and true adventure, said Jericho. Wow, that's great, man. He's got another great show. So
that's awesome. I had no idea he was even doing that.
It's amazing. You know, we've seen Jericho grow from Dancing with the Stars to hosting his free fall game show on ABC to having his reality show on VH1. So he's done a lot of things in TV. He's even had small screen roles, smaller roles on the big screen. But now here he is doing a show that I think he would do great. It's like Steve Austin and his Broken Skull Challenge, which I think is right up his alley. It's a great show for him as a vehicle because it's authentic. I think this will be a very authentic thing for Jericho as well, and I look forward to seeing it on the Travel Channel. I mean, once again, his stock continues to rise without the WWE.
Yeah, he's the man. He can do it all. And, go for it. You know, he's done a lot more than most of your typical wrestlers have done.
Well, he's a hustler.
He is.
You know, he is old school as they get. You know, when you talk about booking yourself, when you talk about believing in yourself, when you talk about him trying to work his way up the ranks, even in WCW, even when people like Eric Bischoff didn't give him the time of day, he's sitting there with ideas and always trying to be the squeaky wheel to try to get the angle, to try to do the best and make the best out of every bit of his television time. And to this day, when you think of Chris Jericho, you think of The List, you think of Armbar, you think of the Festival of Friendship, you think about the return of Y2J, you think about all the different things he's done throughout his career. I mean, you know, he's full of great moments. So once again, I'm glad he's in your top five. He's definitely in my top five as one of the greatest of all time. So
I never said he was in my top five of the greatest of all time.
Okay, I'm just putting the words in
what
your mouth.
What are you talking about?
I'm putting the words in your mouth.
He might be in like the top 150. I mean, I don't, I've never said that about Chris Jericho. I said that Kenny Omega was the fifth best wrestler right now, maybe.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
What are you talking about?
So the wrestling news continues. You know, we talked in the Lost show last week about
yes
the wrestling talent being released.
Mm-hmm.
We had Emma being released.
Good.
Right.
No, that's not nice. She could have been something. I don't know. That's weird. They let her go. That's still weird.
It's odd, right? So they let her go. They let go Summer Rae. They let go of Darren Young. A lot of them had been off TV for a while. We had some NXT talents being released recently. And it just is going to continue. I mean, you know, there are a lot of these guys from NXT that are being released, and it's just part of what happens.
It just got so many guys. I think it's funny, too, and you think of how many people have left. Look who have left. Sheamus left. Kurt Angle left. Hulk Hogan left. I think I'm getting confused. No, seriously, Wade Barrett left. Cody left. You know, and they kind of just did their own thing. Jack Swagger left. And they replaced him with all these guys, and they still have too many people.
Yeah, they have a lot of people. You know, they released Bronson Matthews, a.k.a. the winner of Tough Enough.
Yeah, whatever.
Josh Briddell, the Yeti.
The what?
Yeti. That was, if you saw Tough Enough, that was his whole thing. We're doing the whole kind of.
Oh, that screen. Guy. I thought you were talking about the Yeti that attempted to rape Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Halloween. No, not the Yeti. That was like. That was Halloween Havoc of 1996.
Yeah, Arn Anderson gave him some advice to just go out there and be himself. And then when he came back, he said, yeah, scratch everything I said. Just kill yourself. The monkey fucking the football gimmick ain't going to cut it.
Ouch.
That's a good line. Arn Anderson's the best. Can we do like a 3-hour show on Arn Anderson promos only?
We can do that. We can totally do that.
I love Arn. We don't give him enough love on the show, you know. But
no, we really should. Really should.
Okay, so you were talking about the Yeti? The Yeti.
No, we're talking about, well, yeah, so the Tough Enough winner gets released.
Right? What did Tough Enough play on?
It was also on USA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's terrible.
You remember you had that Cajun guy from your neck of the woods, ZZ, the Gator wrestler?
ZZ's from Bayou Buff.
He is from Bayou Buff, that's right.
I'm from about 40 minutes down the road from there. I met some scary dudes down there, man. That's a shoot, brother. It's a scary place down there, man.
Right. So he gets released, and apparently there's some other folks in there as well, that are in there. But there was another Chinese developmental wrestler that was released too.
One of the two. Remember they signed two guys right away? That was like summer 2016, I think. Man, I can't remember his name. I know who you're talking about. I had a feeling that guy wasn't going to cut it. He seemed really weird in the ring. He just didn't look like he had it. I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative, but you can kind of tell when a guy's like, they just don't have the fluidity. Actually, Elias Sampson reminds me of someone like that a little bit, but I love his gimmick.
Well, Lee Gao, the Chinese wrestler who apparently was just so fun and was very much one of the NXT recruits that people really, really loved because he had a lot of sense of humor. He was a lot of funny for a Chinese guy. And plus he could work apparently, but he was let go due to some type of injury perhaps. And
yeah, don't get injured on that company's
No. And then Sawyer, what was it? Sawyer Fulton was released as well. Now Sawyer was part of the Eric Young faction.
Sanity.
Initially it was Sanity, and he too was also.
He was injured. Doing good. Yeah, and then he came back, and then his heat was gone. I don't. You can't get hurt.
Yeah.
You can't get hurt. You're done. That's what happened to what's her face. You know. You know, you can't get hurt. They don't want to deal with it. They remind me very much of more of a pro football franchise, the way they operate.
Well, you know, if you haven't proven yourself as a commodity like a Jericho, right?
Right. I mean, let's face it, Jericho.
Huh? No. Oh, no, I was wondering what that was. It was one of my... Someone was laughing in the background. It must have been on my computer, but...
I thought you were coughing, so I quickly covered for it by talking. I do that a lot.
Good job.
You're welcome. Now, I forgot what the distraction comment was, so you can just continue.
Oh, okay, very good. So anyway, we have that to talk about.
Hey, did I mention Ingo Bernabéu's For Life yet? Did I say that yet? Okay.
Yes, you have.
Okay.
So, let me see. Oh, there is something. So I don't know if you have any other WWE news, but I just wanted to talk about.
Just that the big dog's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a really bad sinus infection.
I have to admit, it was interesting to see the table for three with the Shield on the WWE Network. The table for three continues to be one of my favorite programs that they have there because, you know, it's great to see them kind of be themselves and open up about life on the road and the various angles and things.
Wouldn't it be weird if they did the table for, and I'm about to watch it after we record this because I forgot. What if it'd be weird they did the table for three and they were talking like normal, you know, like normal guys talk, like table for three, a shoot, but they were talking about the things the Shield had done like it was real.
Yeah, right.
I feel so bad, man. We powerbombed him, and you know, I know that, you know, he didn't see it coming, and
keeping,
you
know, kayfabe alive.
Right, but they would think of like pull it off to where it looked real. That would be really funny.
Right. Hey, thinking about you know, things that are funny, Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory took place this past Sunday, and it was really just all over the place. And
well, I like Trevor Lee.
Yeah, so that was
good.
I like him.
I like Trevor Lee.
Yeah, so the Trevor. So I'll just run down the winners here.
If you want to.
Well, maybe we don't.
Run down like two or three of them and play like.
Okay, Team Impact versus AAA. So you had EC3, Edwards, and Storms versus El Hijo de Fantasma, Pagano, and Tejano.
Yeah, that should have been better.
I was expecting a little bit more from that, but
you expect it to not suck and be sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the decision that you made. You know, when we did the Phantom show, we keep mentioning the Lost in Space episode that's gone forever.
Right.
I said, oh, that one will be good. So I blew that. You know, I'm not going to lie.
Well, here, Team Impact wins. But the thing is, I understand that James Storm is, you know, talking about cuts. You know, Impact is cutting a lot of its roster as well this past week. I think they pretty much cut every referee they had, most of the women's division, and I don't know if James Storm is going to be able to be renewed.
They're not going to be renewed at the money he used to be making.
Yeah.
Which, if I had to guess, is like $200,000 a year. I'm just guessing. I bet I'm right, though.
Well, hey, man, come on to NXT. Come on back if Triple H will have you back. Apparently, it's an open invitation to come back.
Didn't we see him on the street that night?
Yeah, that was him.
Me and Al, hey, listen, here's the scoop, everybody. Me and Al John are driving down the road. NXT's right next to us. And I saw like James Storm wearing a nice white shirt.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, there you go. There's a scoop, Meltzer.
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, or just a couple of weeks prior to us running into James Storm there at the hotel, he actually did that one or two off appearance that he did at NXT.
Right.
In between him kind of negotiating his Impact deal and ended up going back to Impact because it was best for his family financially.
It's right? Never best for your family to work for TNA. It's never a good thing for your family. That's not true because right. You want to be secure and keep your family safe.
Right. Right.
And financially sound.
The photo that I'm seeing on this video of James Storm and EC3 is hilarious. James Storm is raising a beer and EC3 has a look on his face like, I can't believe this crap.
Yeah, and you know, and now this poor EC3 has to be like, oh, I'm Dixie Carter's work cousin or whatever, nephew, you know, he's got to live with this gimmick that was basically put there to appease the weird ownership. I'll put it as nicely as I can because she's a nice person.
Yeah.
And I've met her many times and she was great. But boy, that's a weird business owner. That was some strange shows, man.
Sure thing, man. It was just the Impact show was just really strange. He had a very long-winded, didn't go anywhere promo for Alberto El Patron / Del Rio. Just all over the place. A lot of dusty finishes in this program. I was really looking forward to, of course, the X Division match. The other thing I was looking forward to, and you were mentioned this, the Trevor Lee was a champion in the X Division match versus Xavier versus Seidel versus Petey Williams versus Sanjay Dutt versus Garza Jr., which I think was good. And anytime you can get those guys in there, it was really good. Petey Williams with the Canadian Destroyer, just one of the most devastating moves that I've ever seen. And
good friend of Scott Steiner.
Yes, good friend. Right. Hey, just don't let Scott Steiner drive.
Yeah, my buddy. That's a great story. My buddy Sean is doing a show. He's a rock bass player, and down south, way down south. And Scott Steiner's on the show. And I said, go up to him and tell him that, wrestling's fake. And then run for your life.
That'll go over really well, right?
Yeah,
It'll be like John Stossel getting hit in the head by a.
Dave Schultz. That was the best thing I've ever seen.
Right?
That was hilarious.
That was great.
Mr. Fuji set that up. That was a setup. Mr. Fuji set that up. Another prank.
That was outstanding. So I think the other standouts, and this is what I really wanted to have stand out to me, and I don't know, and maybe, I wanted to, Sienna versus Allie versus Gail Kim. Gail Kim in her, what would be her retirement for farewell match.
Right.
Apparently. And she leaves actually as a TNA Knockouts champion.
Well, don't you think that means that, they don't make any sense. Who knows what'll happen? I was going to say, well, that means that, and then I thought, but I'm even trying to figure out what they're doing. You know, I just wanted to say that Jim Cornette, that line weasel, that Kentucky weasel, okay, we know about Kentucky people in Tennessee, Al John. That Kentucky weasel says, hey, it's going to be such an amazing thing, you won't believe what you see. I'm not with the company anymore, but you need to watch it. Well, thanks a lot for lying to me and make me not trust you ever again. What the hell would he? What was he even talking about? What could he have been talking about?
I don't know.
Johnny Impact doing a moonsault? I didn't know he was going to do that. That's wild.
Well, let me tell you what was really brutal was the Monsters Ball match. There was a lot of gimmick matches here. But you had the Monsters Ball match between Grado and Abyss, and there was blood, and there was some crazy interference by the ladies. Yeah. So,
you know, I'm not one for these Abyss matches. He does the tax still. I'm glad somebody else took a tack bump. I'm glad a girl took a tack bump. Congratulations, Abyss. You've done another one star match with tax and put people's health in jeopardy for no reason. Good job. And I'm glad all 5,000 people that watched this, including me, were moved. There was a, there's no need for this stuff these days. That is so 2009 or something. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, man. There's a bunch of interesting spots in that one for sure. Laurel Van Ness is in there. Leads to some distractions and some funkiness that's going on there. You talked about the thumbtack spot with, not this with Laurel. What did I mean? What's her face? Rosemary. Yeah, Rosemary. Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah, she did a tack bump.
She did a tack bump. Ugh.
That thing about sexy Sara shooting on her at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I think they set that up. Someone tells me. Yeah, I have a funny feeling.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, once again, it's like we say on this show all the time, we're all marks, so they're working us,
Yeah, I mean, I don't just buy anything anymore. You know, she started shooting on me. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, how do I know? I don't know.
I thought that was a pretty good match at the end of the thing between Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact. I mean,
Well, Johnny's great. You know,
he is so good.
You know, this match was originally supposed to be Alberto El Patron against Jeff Jarrett in a match between two people who, you know, you probably don't want to piss test them before the match. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So sorry.
All right. Well, man, we did cover a lot on this.
Allegedly.
We did cover a lot on this program. Did you have anything you'd like to add for this program before we leave you with I have a very special surprise to leave you with.
What is that?
Well, I actually have a clip of the Hardy Boys singing an old school R&B song, If I Ever Fall in Love Again.
If I Ever Fall in Love Again?
Yeah, by Boys to Men. I think by Boys to Men. Either that or it's by some... what was that? Maybe If I Ever Fall, I'm trying to remember. But anyway, it could be by Jodeci. It could be by Jodeci. I could be wrong.
How about some Keith Sweat?
How about Keith Sweat, yeah. Could be New Edition.
Keith Sweat was really good. Everyone needs to rush out and buy his new LP. Do I have any last thoughts on the... I have one thought. This is supposed to be your big pay-per-view of the year. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Kill yourself.
I don't know. I don't know where Impact goes from here, to be quite honest. I mean, they have a depleted roster. You know, they lost a lot of talent.
Their roster sucks, quite frankly.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not saying that Eli Drake sucks. I'm not saying that LAX sucks or Eddie Edwards or anything like that. I'm just saying that they don't have a lot of people on the roster.
No, they don't. And they don't have, for some reason or another, they can't get their booking together.
I mean, how could you?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you? You know, I don't know. I mean, but I like some of these guys. I like Trevor Lee. It's good to see Petey Williams on TV. Or my TV. Not on national TV. And I don't know. I'm glad Abyss still has work, I guess.
Because, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I ended up saying, hey, give Impact Wrestling a chance. It's not a bad show. I remember saying that. And leading up to it, literally the following week, it just all started falling apart.
You let everyone down when you did that. You let everyone down.
I jinxed it. I think I jinxed the program.
No. You know, Cornette was helping.
Oh, Cornette was okay.
And, they were doing this dumb shit with Bruce Pritchard and what's-his-face, short announcer. And I'm like, boy, this is so terrible. And looking back, at least I could, like, remember that they had some angle. Like, I can't even remember any of this stuff. I really have to...
Mm.
I don't know. It's just not too good.
Well, we're going to go ahead and leave you with the Hardy Boys and singing R&B classics from the 90s to wrap up this program for tonight. So is it Boys to Men? Okay, yeah, my wife is saying it's Boys to Men.
Thank you,
okay.
Thank you,
thank you
Kim.
For checking on that. Kim. Thank
what
you.
Did you say Kim?
Just remember.
Here's my mind. Chris.
Just remember, Chris Jericho's the GOAT. Braun Strowman will not die, and Ingobernables for life. Shall we leave it at that?
Ingobernables.
I can't say it as good as you.
So you're not married to Gail Kim.
I am not married to Gail Kim. No. that would be that chef from Kitchen Impossible. What's his name? Robert Irvine. Yes, that is not
Robert married. Irvine's married. Is that really true?
Yeah, that's really true.
Oh wow, you know a lot about Gail Kim. I don't know that.
Oh no, that's common knowledge. Common knowledge.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Common knowledge.
Well, I'm glad we ran through the entire pay per view. It's the shits.
All right. Well. I tell you what, we're looking forward to yet another week of crazy wrestling news. I'm sure it's going to happen. We're going to be following this whole Jericho versus Omega thing, and we're going to find out what the fallout, if any, will there will be. You know, I'm sure we're going to find out more on this podcast. as people are clamoring to figure out what's going on. I'm sure that even the wrestlers in the WWE are applauding at Chris Jericho being his own man, being his own person, and saying, you know, you're going to do this to me, I'm going to go ahead and do something to you. And he doesn't really need to come back if he doesn't want to, you know?
I'm not sure if that's true, by the way. I think you're onto something. I'm just not sure. I think it has a lot to do with wanting to have the best match of the year.
Well, I mean, I think there's that. I think there's a little bit of that situation where Jericho goes, you know what, Trips, you want, because you and I have said this. I think there is an underlying Triple H. I think there's a lot of
pissed about that job in 2000.
Well, I think he's got a lot of things that if we go back and we study how Triple H looked at bringing The Rock back, trying to get himself in a position similar to The Rock and not really getting there, or even Stone Cold versus The Rock, Booker T versus everybody against Triple H, and you look at even a Chris Jericho versus Triple H.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you get to see the, you know, what's going on. I think that we see these days the malevolent Triple H being, oh, I run NXT and I'm the COO of this company and I'm going to give people a chance and I'm going to really work at doing this. So he's created this image for himself that he wants to be portrayed, which is different than the image that a lot of us remember of being the guy that from the clique that was too cool for school, that really crapped on a lot of other people, that left people like Booker T out there to die in the center of the ring.
Yeah.
And really keep other characters down while continuing to push himself and some would say even go into business for himself.
Some would say, I mean, he when wrestling needed him most, because The Rock went to do movies and Austin was hurt and left and beat up his wife and all that stuff. Oh, well, that's what happens. Read right. The police report, allegedly, if you want me to say that, but you can read the police report
from
Deborah McMichael.
Right.
But when wrestling needed him most, Triple H destroyed everything.
Yeah.
He was a terrible champion. He was trying to have a mustache and beard like Harley Race. You're no Harley Race. Don't give me that crap. He destroyed Booker T for no reason. He killed Rob Van Dam for no reason. Kane's never recovered from what he did to him. And Randy Orton, he took a shit all over. That was ridiculous, too. He did put over a guy. I can't remember his name. I think he beat him at a WrestleMania in a three-way or something. Some guy. But other than that possible murderer, he didn't really put anybody else over in those 3 years. From 2002 to 2000, and I guess the summer 2005, he kind of calmed his ass down. Because Batista had the belt. He put him over three straight times.
Yep.
But his reign of terror, as Wrestling With Regret, there's a plug for you, said, his reign of terror really did destroy the company for a long time. And their main eventers were hurt.
Well, I see what you did there. You know, his very first name on WCW was Terror Rising. So there you go.
Yes, Terror Rising. That's such a WCW Saturday night name, too. Just the dumbest. And I always used to watch WCW Saturday night. That kind of makes me sad they don't have that anymore. I guess they haven't had it for 20 years now. But
so
watching wrestling Saturday at 6:05, that was fun.
Well, as we wrap up this program real quick, your favorite wrestling podcast for the week, do you want to give them a shout-out?
I like the I like Shivani was talking about Halloween Havoc 95.
So good.
Yeah, that one was really good. And actually, I have been enjoying Bruce Pritchard talking about the New Age Outlaws because I love 1997. And I think they're doing like a whole show in 1997, maybe on the network, or maybe there's a DVD coming out. But the New Age Outlaws one with Pritchard's actually really good. Pritchard's slightly calmer than normal.
And do you listen to Bischoff on wrestling?
Not too much. He's kind of
very political.
I just don't think he's very wise, and I don't have any problem with his right wing whatever thing. But, you know, I don't want to hear about all that. I don't think he was a genius at wrestling. I think he saw a great angle that Japan ran, and he redid it, and he was smart enough to sign guys. I think he was a good negotiator at contracts. But don't tell me you're good if you do it with the training wheels on. You know what I'm saying? Bill Watts had to do it with the bike just rolling.
I gotcha. Well, anyway, great stuff. Yeah, I will say that Shivani is my new favorite listen. So
me too. Me too. I love Shivani.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But as soon as Shivani's daughter gets married, I think he's going to stop doing the show. He's just getting extra money to pay for the wedding.
Is that right?
So. They joke around like that.
Well, they do joke about that, and they do joke about his merch too with his wife and Conrad Thompson's once again. He's great as well.
Conrad is the man.
I think you need to go back and listen to the commentary on Ready to Rumble, the film, as well, because that was classic.
Yeah, probably the worst movie I've ever. No, Birdemic's the worst movie I've ever seen. Probably the third worst movie I've ever seen.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this show about facial hair, films, movies, and 90s rap and hip-hop. Hope you enjoyed the show for this week. Don't forget, you can send us an email at prowrestlingcast@gmail.com. You can even follow us on social media, if you will. We would appreciate it. PWrestlingCast on Twitter, ProWrestlingCast on the Facebook as well. And Steven, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Yes, it's been a joy.
I can tell.
It's been a joy to be out of jail and free again.
Okay.
You know, I learned a lot from Willie and all those guys.
All right, man. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkel for life. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. And as an FYI, the artist is called Shy. Here are the Hardy Boys on Pro Wrestling Cast.
I could be your one and only. Promise, promise, promise that you'll never leave me lonely. I just want to be the one you need. Oh, baby. I just want to be the one to serve you. Sometimes I feel as if I don't deserve you. I cherish every moment that we share. And if I ever fall in love again, I will be sure that the lady is a friend. And if I ever fall in love so true, I will be sure that the lady's just like you.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.